wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
You know it has rolled around again. And we tell you good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and got a couple other wranglers here. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we'll have the phone lines open up here in a few minutes if you want to join us. It is February, what is it, February 2nd today?
2nd.
Today is February 2nd, 2013. January's here and gone. And the time just moves on. And it seems like it's sped up. I guess that's a good thing, but we do welcome you here to the Radio Ranch. Cold and kind of blowy, icy day out this morning. And but we've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, and we're going to open up with prayer. So, Kyle, would you do that?
Sure. Well, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning asking that you tend to our hearts. You give us a heart for our people. You give us a heart for you, Lord. I desire that all Israel, who is Israel, become, well, just one of yours with meekness and humility. Lord, give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we make the right choices and we can discern good from evil. Lord, and we know we get that through your word. And we thank you for the word that came down and dwelt among us. Lord, without him, without the precious blood of the Son, we are nothing. Lord, we just ask that you build us up, you perfect the body of Christ, you make us work together as one, you give us all the mind of Christ. Even though different members and different parts have different duties, Lord, we just ask that we can all work together for the good, for the purpose, for your purpose. Lord, we ask for that Holy Spirit guidance, direction. That you come upon us, dwell in us, and just hover around us, Lord, and protect us. We ask for all the families out there, Lord, that you just mend them and tend to them. You just gather them back together. Fathers and wives, mothers, daughters, and sons, Lord, we just ask for the family of God to be put back together. In these horrible days, as Richard said, Lord, they're coming and going these days and months and weeks. They're just flying by, Lord, but we just ask you to be with us and hold us together and keep us going in your direction towards you. In the name of Jesus, I come this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kyle. Well, it is coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. John, how are things going down there? You have anything you want to open up with today? Start out with?
Things are going pretty good. It's actually supposed to be a pretty nice day down here today. But, I don't know, I guess I was reading about the Boy Scouts of America again this week, and I was a Boy Scout, made it all the way to life, just gotten interested in cars and working with girls before I finished my Eagle Scout, but back in that day, it was a good thing. It's sad to see it falling by the wayside right now, especially the thought occurred to me as I was reading this article, Whores Galore in America. One of the reasons that they're basically contemplating accepting homosexuals is because the left has done everything they can to cut off all of their funding from these groups that, preach diversity. But like Jason said last week, another one of the big things is the churches have accepted these homosexuals, and their position is, how dare you, judge and not accept these people, not become lukewarm. So it's interesting that pretty much all comes down to money and or the church positions.
Which all comes down to money, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. The offering plate, you're right.
Yeah, the... I'm going to flip back here to 1 Kings. It seems like it's just getting back to the point of sacrifice your children to Molech. And that's where I wanted to get back to, if I can turn back over there and find it. Now I got to find where
it is. Yeah, well, that's why that abortion is such a sacred thing to the Antichrist.
It is. But it's almost like, give us your boys as well, and let us put our filthy faggot perverts as leaders to them.
Well, it does go hand in hand with the churches because, you get all these youth group pastors. I don't know if you guys have met very many of them, but it seems like everyone that I've met is effeminate.
Kyle, what do you mean by that? Now, I just, that just might be offensive to somebody. Yeah, you're right.
I hear you.
It is. Well...
Anyway, don't put your kids through the fire.
No, Yeah, don't do that. Don't. And it's a shame that it's that way.
We're coming to the point now where I was reading 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. We're at a point now where we have to separate ourselves from evil, those that are unruly and causing division.
It is. It's And we have to do that. You hear that from the false churches out there that, oh, they welcome everybody, and oh no, you know, all are welcome at God's table. Yeah. I see that. You see that on the little church bulletin boards and their advertisements outside, and yeah, all are church. But when you think about the wedding feast and the story from the Bible, there was a man there that wasn't properly clothed.
Yep.
And when he was found out, he was thrown out.
Yeah. Well, it's talking about false brethren. Yep. I mean, it's easy to refrain, mark, and avoid the Antichrist. Or I guess it should be easy. Let me put it that way. But when it's your brethren, ones you have fellowship with, ones you commune with, that's when it gets a little tough, you know. And some will be able to do exactly what it says there in 2 Thessalonians with some, because it doesn't affect them. And others will with others, you know. But I'm talking about those ones that like I said, you have sweet fellowship with, you know, and you think they are right there with you, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, and a lot of times we fool ourselves, we deceive ourselves, because the Bible's quite clear. Now, there's an old saying, you don't know the intents of the heart. Well, according to the Bible, the Word of God will let me know the intents of the heart, you know. And if you're around somebody long enough and you listen to their speech, that's one way of telling, because from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. Now, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and fool all the people all the time. So, I mean, fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time.
Right.
You know, and we really have to be that way, as hard as it may be at times. Like I said, with some people, it's not a big deal, because it doesn't really affect you. But, and, you know, and that basically is what Paul tells us to judge the church. You know, because God's going to take care of those that are on the outside looking in. But the church, man, we got to keep that baby clean. I mean, that's our job, as the church, as the body. And it's not for an ego or our benefit. It's for the church's benefit to be purified, to be perfect. You know, as Christ was perfect. You know, and it's tough sometimes, but it has to be done. And people out there don't want to do it.
Amen. Yeah, it's that occurred to me the other day too. I don't know if you guys remember, but it was quite a few years ago. Remember when they had that slogan, "Attend the church of your choice"?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, that was pretty brilliant, really. Didn't say it, attend the church that preaches the truth, you know, or save your soul and attend a church, you know, that teaches about sin. Said attend the church of your choice. The church of your choice was the ones that made you feel good, you know?
Yeah.
Tickled their ears.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to what Kyle said about those effeminate youth pastors.
Yeah.
You know? They're not, the deaconettes and whatnot, they're not going to have, and they don't want some manly man in there teaching the children.
Right.
They want something that is in there, and I say something that's in there that they can control. You know, that's not going to read them the Word of God, I hear, but just tell them that God loves you. Yes, he does. Well, guys, the phone's ringing. Is it all right if I pick it up?
Kind
of early, but that's all right.
It's more than all right.
Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, gentlemen. It's Ralph from Missouri.
Well, good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Ralph. How are you?
Great morning. A little chilly here in the Ozarks, but other than that, it's a beautiful day. There's a few clouds in the sky. But I told you I'd call in and give you a report on that show from last week. So if you don't mind, I can do that for you.
Sure. Now, you called in last week, and we're going to try to make, I guess there was a big gun show there in central Missouri that you were going to go to. How did that turn out?
Well, it was quite a few people there. The paper printed, it was approximately 3,000 show, and that was by far the biggest one they ever had. Just kind of walked around to get a feel of the spirit of people. It was definitely our people there. I didn't see, other than one hook-nosed gentleman selling gold or buying gold, I didn't see anything else but there are people there, and they seemed to be in a good spirit. I didn't see a spirit of fear at all. And I saw some 22 rounds. I saw a box of 50 going for $8. And I saw one box of 375 rounds going for $40. I don't know if anybody was buying it or not, but that's what I saw the price tag. And then your higher end, those higher black rifles, as they're calling them, your AR-15s and SKSs were going anywhere from $1,400, $1,500, $1,600. And the people I talked to, the promoters that put it on, and they said that yeah, this was by far their biggest. So.
Yeah, we've kind of seen that. That seems to fall in line with what we've seen around the country. That whether it lasts or not, but the 22 rounds are still not in the big box stores.
And
I did see there's a gun shop down in Fort Collins. I stopped by last week. I was down there doing some stuff, and they did have some 22s. They had them for $33. For a case of, or the box of 550, yeah, basically a brick, and and they had about, they had about 10 of those, I guess, was about it, but they were crowded. It's just a little gun shop that Jason's told me about, and I stopped in, and there had to be a dozen cars in the parking lot, and it seemed like that is certainly what's on the minds of the people right now.
Yes. I guess in a sense of urgency, I was talking to another brother in Christ, and I said, well, you know, God's taken away our money. We haven't done anything. He's taken away our food and our health and our health care. We haven't done anything. Maybe the guns will get us to repent. That seems to be the only concern I've seen out of people lately that are verbally is over the guns. But unfortunately, they're still spouting constitutional issue and not biblical issue.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you mind me changing the subject. I know you mentioned it Thursday for a little bit. I didn't get to hear the whole show, but kind of perspective of someone in the leadership of Scouts, what's going on in America right now. The local council here wanted a report from all the leaders on our feelings on the proposed change, and it was unanimous. Every letter I've seen, I think I forwarded to you what I sent to the council, Rich. I don't know if you got that or not.
Yeah, I've seen a couple that one from you and one from one other gentleman.
Uh-huh. And it's definitely not coming from the rank and file. There's two in the higher ups of scouting that I suspect are snakes, tears, that are pushing it. One's even on our current president's commission of something, some kind of cabinet position. I don't know what it was. But we don't want it. We don't want it. And with as far as one person locally, I've seen it's for it. And I suspect he is a homosexual. And if I can prove it, I'll out him if they keep the current policy. But it's definitely something we need to keep in prayer. I personally feel that if all the Christian men bail from Scouts, and there's going to be no one to teach these children morals, and that we should be fighting it spiritually and fighting it as best we can verbally within the ranks.
Well, Ralph, we will sure keep that in our prayers, and I agree with you. The Boy Scouts have always been a Christian morals based organization. Sure seems like it anyway, but that's the day that we're in, is anything and everything that is good and moral and clean.
They're attacking. Yep.
That's what the enemy is coming against.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I keep trying to bring people up with that too. This is a Christian issue, not a Scout issue. I know that, I had someone say that to me, well, Scouts is open to all religions. And I said, well, that may be fine, but I'm a Christian. And I said, on Judgment Day, I won't be facing Buddha, Muhammad, or anyone else. I'll be facing Jesus Christ. And I want to look him in the eye and say, I fought this issue on your principles. And he didn't think too much of it, but then again, that's the one I suspect is a queer. So. Well, gentlemen, I speaking of that, I have a thing with the boys this morning, so I've got to get going, and I look forward to seeing you all in the hearing.
All right, Ralph. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ralph.
God bless, brother. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You too.
Yeah, just it's further attack. It truly is.
Yeah.
Further attack.
Even in the Bible Belt, they've infiltrated.
Yeah. Well, we're seeing it all over. We certainly are. We've seen it in the churches. And you know, you see it in the of course the universities and the colleges where they can have just, you know, gatherings and clubs and sanctioned organizations,
yeah.
You know, with things that I don't even want to mention.
They got,
but
they've even gone to the point now where they got transgendered restroom facilities.
Yeah. I mean, talk about confusing. You know, and then, but you try to have a Bible club or a prayer club, and oh, that's, you're infringing on my rights. So, but we'll see how it comes. Like Ralph said, on Judgment Day.
Just hastening the day of the Lord.
I think it is. Well, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. I'm about ready to pour me another cup. And our phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. You know, I opened my Bible here to 1 John. And it has a definition, and I've got it highlighted, of sin. And it's 1 John 3:4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Well, Kyle, how can sin be lawlessness if the law is done away with?
Well, here's the deal. If there is no law, there is no sin. If there is no sin, there's no reason for Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross for us, you know? So, for a church or any Christian to think that the law has been done away with, I mean, really what it says is Christ died in vain. Why would you need a Savior, you know, if you're not under, you know, if you're not under sin? You wouldn't need saved, you know. That was to save us from the curse, which was death. You know, the wages of sin is death. It was death from the time Adam did it, Adam and Eve. That was the curse. If you do this, if you disobey my law, and right then the law was, don't eat of this tree.
Mm-hmm.
You can eat of all these other trees, but don't eat of this tree. But if you disobey, you know, what's going to happen? You're going to die, you know, and that was the curse, you know. So Jesus Christ came down and hung on the cross so that we, if we believed and obeyed, could find salvation. You know, sin and law go hand in hand. Without law, there is no sin. I mean, it's quite clear. You can read about that in Romans 5. I won't go there. You can read about how sin and law go hand in hand throughout the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But you can really read about it in the New Testament, because there was an answer for it, you know. There was a solve. You know, you could solve your problem, your death problem. You know, now we're all going to die, you know, but we don't have to die that second death. You know,
amen.
That curse. So anyway, that's a quick.
Well, thanks. That hopefully that I know we have new people listening in all the time, and that is something that comes up. It comes up in emails. It comes up in people have questions with that. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. Calvin here.
Good morning, Calvin.
Morning, Calvin.
How is everything going out there? Is it nice and cold?
It is. It is.
Could be colder.
Yeah, could be colder.
In the lower 20s up here in Laramie, anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty cold. Cal wanted to thank you for that book. I got that in the through the mail at this past week, I guess.
Oh, good.
I've had a chance to look at a couple little stories in there. Haven't had a chance to read it all, but it sure looks interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A delight, I think, in some ways. Anyhow, I was looking up in you fellows brought up law and no law. In Black's Law Dictionary, I happened to be looking at the word outlaw, which was brought up to my attention sometime this week by somebody on the radio. And it says, in English law, one who is put out of the protection or aid of the law. Ta-da! Well, I wonder how the boys up in Washington feel about that.
Put out of protection.
Huh. Later on, in my reading on other books that until probably, I think it was 80 years or so ago, maybe a little longer than that now, an outlaw was open game. You were to shoot him, kill him, whatever way, to hang him. They had no protection. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's old English law. So in other words, if you want to do away with the law of protection for people that are walking around in your community or wherever, and you're the one at fault, you became an outlaw. So no longer will the law help you. So you better be careful on the laws you pass in whatever setting it's in, because you may have left the protection yourself. Interesting. That God is the only lawgiver, and his law does stand until the end of time. In fact, it says his word will never fail.
Amen.
It'll never disappear. It'll always be here.
Amen.
That's the way he is. How is Rachel?
I know yesterday she was doing better.
Much better.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent, because I was praying. I was just thinking about her this morning. Well, good. Keep up the good work, man, yep. And I'll say good morning.
Good morning, Calvin. Thank you. God bless.
You bet.
You know, Calvin mentioned a couple of good things there. I'll start with the last one. He said, you know, he was thinking about Rachel this morning. And, John, you mentioned this earlier this week. We all have to be a little more, we all have to practice and be a little more in tune to that Holy Spirit. And when somebody comes to mind, normally it's to pray for them. I really think it is. And I think that's what Calvin was saying. He was thinking about her, praying for her. And in these days, that's one of the protections, not only for us individually, but for us as a group, for the remnant as a group. You know, when somebody comes to mind, say a prayer for them, bring them up before the Lord. You know, being the Christians that we are, we can pray angels to come and protect, whether it's our wife and children or our neighbor's wife and children or somebody's wife and children down in Texas or wherever. And so I'm glad he mentioned that. I know, John, you had mentioned that earlier in the week, that you know, we have to do that. We have to be in tune and be listening in when that Holy Spirit speaks.
Yeah, not only that, we have to be diligent in our own prayer lives, not even skipping, you know, a day or an hour, really,
yeah,
when for our immediate family and those that we love,
it
and
is.
Even offering up just a blanket prayer for protection for the remnant, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, Richard. Hi, Joe. Hey, I'm calling here.
Good morning, Joe.
People's Republic of Pennsylvania. Yeah, the down in Harrisburg, one of the biggest exposition areas, and they actually have a lot of farm shows down there. At the present time, there is going on right there a big sports exposition, and they have seen fit, the owners of the either the owners of the facility or the people who promote the shows, to ban assault rifles there.
Yeah.
And it's so for now a week now, and this is the first time I heard of it.
Yeah, I heard about this.
There's a huge boycott going on down there. They're probably going to lose about $100,000 in business.
Well, good. Good. Hey, Joe, don't take it wrong, but I like how Ralph mentioned it earlier, black rifles. That's really a more proper name. You know, assault rifle is a term that this left-wing media thought up, you know, back in like the mid to late 80s to get ready for that 94 assault weapon ban. You know, my gun has never assaulted anybody.
No.
You know?
Yeah, they must have got that phrase from... the old days when they used to have the they used to jam rock salt in their scatter guns. One other thing I came up with, and I don't know if it occurred to you, John mentioned a Sunday or two ago about the Hamites in his opening.
The talk. Descendants of Ham.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you mentioned the word chaos.
Right.
And that made me think about years ago back in school. They made us take Greek mythology.
Uh-huh.
And it seems that Chaos, I had to look it up again, Chaos was one of those proto-gods in ancient Greece. And
right.
it was pronounced Chaos, K-H-A-O-S. So I came up with that little bit of information. And then after that, they added a couple other gods, Gaia, Tartaros, and Eros. And then I guess from there on, they just kept inventing more and more. So
yeah, it's interesting if you look into the Gaian religion too. That they were big in immorality, you know, just like the Nicolaitans and all the other descendants of Ham. But they're also Mother Earth worshippers. That doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, just they're just about like Americans today.
Well, this whole area, I came to find out, is part of what's known as the Borscht Belt. And if anybody out there knows what that is, there's Jewish enclaves and camps, youth camps all over, scattered all over central New York and northern Pennsylvania. And they're taking on the practices of these shamanist Indians that were indigenous around here. And they have this drumming seminars, and they have shamanist seminars, and they're now openly proclaiming it. They're announcing these workshops on the radio.
Yeah.
Broad daylight.
You see it out here too, Joe. You know, it's that Eastern religion. Boy, if you're not familiar with it, if you get Mr. Hoskins, ever read any of Mr. Hoskins' stuff, he does an excellent job of explaining that out. And that's what it is. It's that Eastern religion coming in. So.
No one really understands that Buddhist and Hindu influence. A guy sent me an email. He's very big in getting back to no poisons in the garden, and he's a very good poster on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he sent all of his, or I guess he just posted it on YouTube. Just a disgusting, filthy thing, and I unsubscribed to his site immediately. Indian religions and Chinese religions and stuff, it's just full of such perversion.
It is.
I mean, it turned my stomach.
Well, Joe, we'll try to take this other caller. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
As always, and
thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yep. Good to hear from Joe. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers. Thanks for holding.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Richard?
We're doing well.
Good. I just had something that came out the other day, yesterday. I think I heard it on the news. There's a gentleman down here in Oregon that has a cake shop. He does cakes and cupcakes or whatever. And I don't know what kind of Christian he is, but he took a stand on... He refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple, which I thought was kind of encouraging. And the Constitution says a man can practice his religion, you know, however he sees fit. But the state law down here says if you have a business that you have to...
You can't discriminate.
Details,
you can't discriminate.
Yeah.
Should have made a special cake for him.
If it cost himself his... livelihood or his money financially, he wasn't going to give. He just refused, and it's been on the news. It's kind of interesting. I thought it was kind of encouraging.
Yeah, I was reading this morning in Freedom From Religion Foundation from the Pits of Hell that I don't know if you remember, but several months back there was that Jessica Alba or whatever that came against the prayer that's been up in the school since, you know, 19-something. And there was a florist there in town who refused to send flowers to her, and now they're coming against them with high-powered lawyers. And so there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we have to keep our brethren all over in our prayers that, you know, when these things happen, we have to rejoice that, you know, there are still some men out there that got a pair swinging that do that, that stand up and say, this is wrong, and I'm not going to do it, whether it's somebody making a cake or running a flower shop or whatever it is. You know, the local Boy Scout leaders like Ralph, when he called in.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. It's good to see that, and I think we're going to see more and more, and I think that we need to, like we said earlier, stay open to that type of thing, and when we see it, you know, do our best to for spiritual support for those people, to keep them in our prayers, our brethren, but then also in the physical, you know, to do what we can to encourage them.
Yeah, I found it very encouraging, because even the churches and everything, when it comes to the perversion of homosexuality, people just don't really want to talk about it. They don't really want to, you know, that's not a battle that they want to take on. And this guy was willing to take it on head on and say, you know, I'm just not going to make you a cake. You have to go get a cake somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I thought it was encouraging. Anyway,
yep.
You guys have a nice day.
Hey, thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah, Jason and I were talking this week, and you know, I said, you know, I'd just soon see the Boy Scouts of America just close up and you know, get out of existence versus accepting this new homosexual tolerance. That's what it is, tolerance. That's what they've taught
yep.
through all these years. But there's nothing to say that local men, God-fearing Christian men, can't get together with their sons and do the same things. You don't need a title. You don't need any authority. You don't need any permission. God's already given you all that.
Amen.
Well, yeah, there it goes. You're hitting home now, and it's getting back to what you're saying is families take responsibility, you know, and
yeah.
and find yourself, and, you know, if you want to go as a group, find yourself other Christian men. Find yourself somebody like the cake maker who actually was willing to give up some money for his beliefs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, at least when you hear that story, because a lot of times I hear stories and it goes in one ear and out the other, and I almost roll my eyes because, you know, it really didn't cost them anything. They really didn't sacrifice. But, you know, there's a reason why it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And even today, even though I've known that my whole life, basically, that the love of money is the root of all evil, as I go through life, I start realizing how it applies to everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, even more than ever now.
Yeah. Right. And so when you hear about a Christian who actually, it's costing them something, then you know, they might not be a true Christian or whatever, but at least there's some fruit there. A tree that you can look at and say, that's some pretty good fruit there.
Right.
You know?
Right. According to biblical standards.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Richard, Cal again.
Good morning, Cal.
I just was thinking on how to save some money. It was a story came on turning in the guns. There's some enterprising young fellows that knew what was going on were there outside the place and offering to buy them at double what they were offering inside. And that way they got some really nice pieces.
Was that out in Seattle?
Yeah.
I saw that. I was hoping to bring that up, and the phones just keep lighting up. I hadn't had a chance to bring it up. But, yeah, the Seattle Police Department were doing a gun buyback, so they advertised it. And, you know, they have these $100 cards and $200 cards, gift cards
yep.
for Wally World or somewhere, grocery store or something. And some people found out about it, so they go down there with signs, cash for guns, because you can,
yep.
you can do a private sale. And the guy said, hey, why, don't get upset with me. He says, I'm taking the guns off the street and putting them in my safe, you know, and they'll be safe. And they were. I heard they were I hadn't seen a lot on it, but I saw a couple pictures. And you know, the Seattle gun buyback program turned into a gun show. And then, of course, the police ran out of cards because they do that. And you got, you know, grandmas and everybody else that are bringing in those family heirlooms and stuff. And they ran out. So when they ran out, there were still people in line. And they just walked over to where the people had cash.
and we're selling that's what they wanted anyway.
That is. Yeah. That is. And so, yeah, that maybe we should try something like that around here.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, you got to always think I ought to get rid of some of this phony money or whatever they call it, currency.
Yeah, you can't take it with you.
Yeah, well, you just got to keep your ears open because
right.
It is amazing what they will try to do can backfire on them. But let's promote the gun, the turning in of guns, and we
right.
can station our people around there and with cash in hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing about their so-called Constitution is that they even say, you know, a contract under admiralty law can't, the outcome of it can't be stopped by any law that they would pass in legislature because it's a private contract. And it has to be honored. You can't
yeah.
infringe the outcome of the procedure of contract between you and I. And that's the way it is.
Yep.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Calvin.
You know what will happen, though? In something like that, they'll pass another ordinance or another law
yeah.
or something. But the bottom line is what they can do, too, is similar to what happened there in Ruby Ridge with Randy Weaver. They could they'll set you up.
Well, they and they can do that.
You buy back a gun, that's illegal.
That's right.
And then they catch you with it. Next thing you know, you just committed a felony. So
yep. And they can do that with you.
I heard a story this week about that Randy Weaver situation that I'd never heard. And I don't have two witnesses, but bottom line was that guy, FBI agent, befriended him, and before he knew it, he'd asked him to sell him this shotgun for, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever. Finally, he sells it to him. He says, "Oh, can you cut it here for me?" And there was, you know, there's a legal limit and an illegal limit. And
right.
He even marked the shotgun.
Yeah.
And Randy just cut it where he marked it,
mm-hmm.
and still. They entrapped him.
And wasn't it like just a quarter inch too
yeah.
short, something like that?
Yeah, I never heard that,
yeah.
you know, the whole story, and I was like,
yeah, wow. They set him up for sure, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
but
I think
they'll do the same thing with these people that
right.
are trying to buy back these guns.
Well, we're seeing the same thing down in that Fast and Furious, you know.
Exactly.
You know, there was a family on the ministry that has a gun shop down there that was involved in that. That
yeah, they set them up.
And they set them up. It's what they do. But there again, that's why that full armor of God, you know, we're hoping by Monday to have the February prayer out to you folks. And part of it in there, I think, is going to be that Ephesians 6, that full armor of God. You can't go into battle unarmed or unarmored. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
How you doing, guys?
Good morning.
We got them surrounded, man.
Yep.
You know,
man,
right?
Shooting any direction, we're going to get them.
That's right.
Yeah, but I get dizzy sometimes turning around so fast.
it just amazes me that, you know, we got bullets flying by our ears every day, and they still don't realize we're at war, do they?
So many of our people don't. You know, they don't.
You know what it reminds me of? I don't know if you guys ever... It was a retarded movie quite some years ago, The Jerk. And, in that movie, remember when he was at the gas station and that guy was shooting at him?
Shooting at the cans, you mean?
Yeah.
That guy really hates those cans.
Yeah. that's what everybody reminds me of these days, you know?
Yeah.
But, I just wanted to direct you guys. I was looking at the crystal ball and Daniel here at verse 7. And I wanted to know if you guys would maybe read that and ponder on it.
Which chapter?
It's chapter 12. Verse 7, and
okay.
I don't know if you guys agree, but I would think that that we are completely out of power. We have no power left.
Well,
we have power of Jesus Christ, of course, but as far as the system goes, we have no power.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you guys wanted to just maybe talk about that for a minute, I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Well, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, let's got one more caller on. Let's write that down. Daniel 12:7. And that's the times and a half, I think, and we'll come right back to that. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, this is Tom in Montana. How are you, men, today?
Doing well, Tom.
Good. How are you, Tom?
How are you?
Real good, real good. Say, I wanted to give a little gun show report. they had one in Livingston yesterday, which is just north of the park, of course, here. And I thought, well, I haven't been anywhere since the election, hardly to see anything. Praise God, I'm sheltered. And
amen, brother.
Sheltered. And I've been just sitting home taking care of the stock. And I went down there, and I got there at the gun show, and it was, 10 minutes to 3 before it opened up. And there was probably, 25, 50 people in line waiting to get in. And they had a single purpose on their minds, and they were running with fists of cash over to the ammunition supply. Mm-hmm. And in an hour's time, I saw a pallet load of ammo walk out the door in an hour's time from 3 to 4 o'clock.
Wow.
And the rest of the tables, there was nothing going on. I mean, really, other than ammo buying.
Right.
And what I noticed is there were people there that you could see just by the way they picked up a gun that they've never handled one in their life. And they went there, and they were desperate to buy one.
Selling their robes.
Yep.
What's it going to, you know, Tom, it makes me think about when, what's it going to be like when they go to the bookshelf and they say, I know there's one here. Where's it at? Where's it at? And they're looking and they're looking and they find that old Bible that they haven't looked at in however many years. Like you're saying, they've never handled the gun. And they get that Bible out and they start to open it up. And I just can't help but think that it's going to be that way one day as well.
We were speaking of that, just this very same thing this morning here in our house. What was it like when the door was closed on the Ark? And what will it be like when there is some necessity that is going to be in short supply? That it's just ammo, people, man. If you ain't got it, you probably weren't meant to have it.
Good point.
Yeah,
if you haven't thought of it sooner before you had to hoard it and run for it and fight for it and riot for it. You know,
Tom, my brother's down in Florida, and he goes to gun shows, and they have tables and stuff there. But he said they had one about 3 or 4 weeks ago in Orlando. Had about 8,000 people there because it's a big city. And he said, I think about lunchtime on Saturday, they had to close the doors because they were full. And this is in a big convention center. And so he said, you know, the line went on outside for blocks and blocks. So they went out and they gave the people vouchers. This was on a Saturday for like half price to come back Sunday. Said, you know, you got to come back Sunday. We're full. And so the people took the vouchers and left. And, you know, they had another record day on Sunday. You didn't hear about them rioting. You didn't hear about them, you know, yelling and screaming.
No.
But I sent him an email or a text, and I said, how's it going to be when that happens at the grocery store for milk and bread?
Oh, I know.
You know, because, I mean, we see them riot when they can't get in Walmart on Black Friday fast enough.
Yeah, to get a TV.
Yeah, to get a TV or whatever. And I think we're going to see that. You know, you mentioning about, you know, the hoarding and, hey, you if you don't, have it by now, you probably weren't meant to have it. And, you know, that biblical understanding is there as well. There's some that are just not going to have it.
No.
Well, you could just see the determination and the single purposeness in their eye as they were waiting in line to get in the door. Hmm. And they made a beeline. There was one supplier of ammo that had brought bulk ammo in cans, you know, and that was their sole purpose, was to go in there and get ammo. And you could just see it, read them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, man. Praise
thank
Jesus
you,
for our deliverances.
Amen.
Amen. Grace and mercy.
Yep. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, the Strong's Concordance, if you look up the word sword, 3162 says a short sword or a dagger. There's a few times it's 4501B, which says a large broadsword or sword. And then 4501 is only in there one time, and it didn't make sense to me, so I didn't write it down. I mean, it didn't say anything like, I mean, I was looking to see if there was any of the places where, you know, like in Hebrews or Romans, where it's talking about the sword of the Spirit, and the, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it's always described as physical. A literal sword, as, you know, but obviously there's spiritual meaning. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. when sure. you know, the Word of God isn't a piece of steel.
Right.
You know? The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged
That's
sword.
That's right. It yeah. is. It is that, though. Yeah. I mean, it is, but it's so right. much more.
But my whole point here is I think Ralph mentioned that, you know, taking our guns or whatever maybe is going to lead people back to repentance. It won't. If they take your wife, and they take your child, and they take everything else that we all know they've taken, you know, as a whole, and it didn't lead to repentance. Now, it might lead to getting mad. It might lead to, you know, whatever it's going to lead to. It's not going to lead to repentance. You know, it's not. They've took the Word of God, that sword. Yeah, we all have Bibles in our houses, but you go out in the streets and you try to use it, you know. It's just a matter of time before you'll get arrested. That is not going to lead to repentance. You know, we have humility will lead to repentance.
Yeah.
Humbling ourselves, understanding the unseen war, you know, which I didn't mean to promote the book, but it might as well. I mean, there's a war going on, you know, in the physical, obviously, and we've talked about that today. Mm-hmm. But in the spiritual, where it really counts, where it gets down to really counting, you know, it's they've already took our guns.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
well, it comes back that Daniel, yeah, that Daniel 12:7. That's what the caller talked about. As soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed, and that pride and humility might be that last shattering. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in the Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is George. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, George.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up, we shouldn't forget about one of the weapons that Pastor Gaiman, or Pastor Peters, I should say, gave us on the last Branson meeting that he was on. He gave us a bag and said that laughter is one of our best weapons against the enemy.
Yeah, amen, brother.
It well, is.
You know, if we want to be godlike, yeah. God laughed at him.
Yeah, he still does.
Yep.
Good point, George.
You guys want to hear a joke?
Too, right?
Well, real quick, we got a few more minutes, and I got one other caller on the line. So,
okay, how many Jews can you fit in a VW Beetle?
I don't know. How many?
Two up front, two in back, and 50 in the ashtray.
I like your laugh bag there. George, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
all right,
bye.
Thanks. And we'll go to one more caller. Good morning. Thanks for calling in the coffee.
Jimmy from Maine. In my native upstate New York, I come from Syracuse. There was a scoutmaster back in the late 80s. There was a scout troop in a Catholic parish I was at, and he was a convicted pedophile. I didn't know that until then. And I was briefly in the scouts. I left it, and I think the Lord spared me from that. Sodomy and the scouts is really nothing new. The scouts have been ravaged by pedophile scandals for about the last 5 or 6 years now. And Robert Baden-Powell, the scouting founder, was reportedly a sodomite.
Well, I think they've been just like almost every other organization. You know, they have had their good. They've certainly had their bad. And it's coming out. It's...
And predators are going to go just like a coyote. Or yeah, a wolf, they're going to go where their prey is.
Sure.
You know? And
Boy Scouts.
Yeah. Ice cream man or what? I mean, whatever it happens to be, a Catholic priest, you know, they're going to go where they have a chance to get a prey.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a smorgasbord.
When you have all these, when you have these large groups or mass organizations in the herdthink or groupthink mentality, these predators are definitely going to hang out and, you know, there's going to have to be a return to some kind of rugged individuals in this country, independent thought.
Of course, you know, kids think priesthood independently from the sheeple out there.
Amen.
You got to think far to the right of the sheeple out there. Think differently from them, or they're not going to survive.
Yeah, good point.
That's it, brothers.
Thanks, Tim. Good point.
Thanks. Yeah, reading Psalms 2, 4, 5, and 6. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Amen. I love reading that scripture.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, it's interesting, too. You read this week, or maybe even started last week, but DHS, you know, Janet Reno, oh, I mean Janet Napolitano, which there ain't no difference, but she, or they just ordered 7,000 fully automatic weapons, which sounds like they're like Uzis or something like that, but, you know, the plan there is to outfit those citizen soldiers that Obama's trying, I mean, the mongrel, I'm not calling them Obama anymore, I'm calling them the mongrel, but anyways, but the mongrel is trying to get those that won't think, you know, those that can't think.
Yep. Well, guys, we're about out of time. That hour went fast.
Yeah, it did.
We thank you, Remnant, for joining us. Thank you for supporting us and allowing us to be here and on Saturday mornings. And we invite you to church tomorrow. You can sure come to church with the Remnant. And you can do that by turning your computer on and going to scriptures4america.org. At 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. You get to sleep in if you're on the East Coast. But you can still come to church with us. Not forsake the assembly. Have some good praise and worship music. Good little Bible study. And partake of communion, which is an important thing to do on the first day of the week. And enjoy the benefits that partaking of communion with the saints gives to you, those benefits. And then we'll have a timely message from Pastor Peters. So we do invite you to church tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 Central. And you can also tune in on the shortwave, but if you want to watch, you can tune in at the website. So again, thanks, men. Thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll see you at church tomorrow. Remember, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their steak hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.